Hi, this is Philip Michaels. We know when you've been sleeping. We know when you're awake. We know if you've been bad or good because you're listening to the Pundit Showdown.
Awesome.
Yes, it's time once again to gather the brightest minds of the tech world and ask them questions about events. Recent events, future events, events wrapping up 2015, since this will be the last Pundit Showdown of the year. Let's meet our panelists, which features two people making their debut. Let's start off with a video game developer who's the founder of Giant Space Cat, also the head of development there. She is the host of Isometric and Rocket on Relay FM. It's Brianna Wu.
Play the game, play the game, play the game.
What's up?
Nice to have you on the show.
I am so honored. I feel like Rudy, who trained his whole life to play for Notre Dame, and that's where I am right now. I've always wanted to do this show, so I'm super psyched to be here.
Well, terrific. We are super psyched to have you.
Thank you.
Let's meet another panelist making her debut on the show. She is the host of the Less Than or Equal podcast, which is about pursuing equity in geekdom. This is suddenly a very heavy crowd, very, very deep for the Pundit Showdown. That is now on Relay FM. You can also read her deep thoughts and other blog items on alinemean.com. Here's a music. Here's an introductory song that mispronounces her name.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh, flashbacks to high school right here.
It's Aileen Sims. How are you?
I'm traumatized. How are you?
Yeah. Well, that's whenever we meet someone for the first time, we try to traumatize them with their theme song. It helps
just like
really
right
get
away.
Them in the mood to participate in our stupid little show. We have some returning guests. In fact, one of our most frequent guests, one of our most frequent winners. He is to be found at sixcolors.com. He hosts the Incomparable podcast. He's also all over Relay FM. A lot of Relay FM people on the show today.
Hmm.
Funny how that works. It's Jason Snell.
Hi, Phil. It is an honor and a pleasure to be back on the Pundit Showdown.
And again, We are pleased to have you here. Finally, one last panelist. He earlier this year made his triumphant return to Macworld, where he is a senior editor. He is now making his triumphant return to the Pundit Showdown, where he has had so many triumphs, so many equaling one. What time is it? It's Roman time.
Can't touch this.
Roman Loyola.
How's it going, everybody? I just want to reassure the new guests that just because I've been on the Pundit Showdown before does not mean I will be successful at this Pundit Showdown.
Roman, do you have a podcast on Relay FM that we need to tell people about?
So anyways, it's nice to be back.
Okay, good.
Roman, this is what you don't know. Like, we're hungry. We are here to win and to crush, and we are new blood on the field. We're very excited.
Let's remind people how the scoring works. I am going to ask questions and award points, whether it's 1 point, 2 points,
boom,
3 points. And you can also lose a point.
That's a familiar sound.
Yes. Yes, we call that's labeled the Roman sound on my soundboard. So let's start things off with our first question. It is all about this.
We're at 32 seconds until we say Happy New Year. Get ready to count. 25 seconds. A million people in Times Square, millions watching on. Here we go. 15.
Yeah, we're playing the whole countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yes, it's the end of another year, which is normally the time to reflect on the year's biggest events. But instead, I'd like to know what product came out in 2015 that a year from now, or even years from now, we'll be asking ourselves, was that actually a thing? Let us start off with Roman.
Oh, I'm first.
Yes, you're first today.
So this year there's a product called Coin that came out. And Coin was supposed to be the card to replace all your cards in your wallet. No more ATM cards, no more credit cards. And it came out this year, but the problem is that it doesn't support enough banks and other financial institutions to make it truly useful. And then there's this other thing called a smartwatch that's out. So you have things like Apple Pay and Android Pay that are eventually going to take over what Coin was supposed to do, and that was be an easy way to pay for things.
There you go. Jason.
I want to say the Surface Book, which although when it was announced it got some accolades. If you look at it, it's this really strange amalgamation of a laptop and a tablet. It's a tablet that doesn't have really great battery life. When you detach it, I think there are better tablets, there are better laptops. It's this in-between thing, and I have a feeling that it won't take too long for us to say, why in the world would you make something that is a crazy mixed-up product like the Surface Book?
Aline.
Surface Book was actually going to be my answer, but instead...
Another point for Jason.
Instead, I'm going to say Kinect within Apple Music. It is the ping of 2015. I heard so little about it, and I think, you know, I've heard some bad things about Apple Music. People aren't satisfied. I myself do not love Apple Music. I think it'll continue on, but I think that we're going to see Kinect kind of silently be removed somewhere down the line.
And Brianna.
I think the thing that we'll be asking ourselves, was that actually a thing, is anyone from the Beats team at an Apple keynote. I think Apple should hire lots of security, just bar Jimmy from the building entirely. Dr. Dre, he might be able to get in, but I think we're going to look back on that as a huge mistake.
This is not going to be the podcast for Jimmy Iovine
to
listen in
no.
on. No, I have a feeling he'll be making some return appearances today. Very
Turn back
good.
Now, Jimmy.
Good start. Let's move on to our next question. In October, Microsoft unveiled the Surface Book. Hey, also not a good podcast for that. A 2-in-1 laptop that bears a striking resemblance to Apple's MacBook Pro and brought back memories of the Microsoft-Apple feud of yesteryear. What other ancient rivalry would you like to see rekindled in 2016? This time, Aline, why don't you start us off?
I want to see the rivalry of the fruits, Apple versus BlackBerry. I want BlackBerry to have a resurgence. I want Apple to have more competition than Android. And BlackBerry had the first smartphones. They had a good OS. And I want to see BlackBerry do better. Or something. I want to see BlackBerry do something.
Roman.
Well, you know, Larry Ellison hasn't made any news lately because he's busy not being able to buy an NBA franchise, and he's working on that island resort in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
But I'd really like to see the Oracle-Salesforce rivalry catch fire again. Because, you know, who doesn't love a sparring match between enterprise CRM software companies?
Who doesn't?
So true.
Absolutely. Jason, what rivalry do you want to see make a comeback?
Well, you know, when the IBM PC came out, a lot of the wind was taken out of its sails ultimately by PC clones that were able to be operated because of the shenanigans that Microsoft pulled on IBM in getting the license to the operating system to distribute as it saw fit. And I feel like, let's bring that back. IBM has embraced Apple computers in its own business. We found out there are a lot of Macs at IBM. IBM is out there hawking iPads into the Fortune 500 right now, so let's get that battle going between IBM and Microsoft, so that the company that's full of gradually reforming business drones can fight with the company full of gradually reforming Windows drones.
And Brianna,
I feel like it's time for desktop publishing to make a resurgence. I feel like it's time is now. The age of the printer is upon us again. So I want to see Microsoft Publisher make a huge comeback and go head-to-head with Adobe PageMaker. Make it happen.
Okay. A chilling vision from the past. Let's go to our next question. It is a listener question from Gary Rogers, who hit us up on Twitter and wants to know, now that we have an iPad Pro, What should Apple try to embiggen next? It's a perfectly cromulent word, Jason Snell. Why don't you go first?
Well, first I tried to envision a more comically tall, elongated Airport Extreme, but it's not possible. They already did that. They already comically elongated it. And the Apple TV was also similarly embiggened recently. So I've got to pull it back a little bit and say, the Apple store, Apple retail stores should be embiggened a little bit. When I go into mine, it is super crowded. It is hard to stand. I really need some room so I can hang out there while the guy in the back comes out with that adapter that I ordered online for in-store pickup. And right now, it's a little too tight. Makes me uncomfortable.
And make sure you don't wear a blue shirt because then people come up to you and ask you things.
And well, you could wear a blue shirt and then you just lie to them.
Ah, yeah, that's true. Brianna.
You know, I'm really torn on this. I was going to say, like, the Genius Bar, because there's always such a huge line there. But I think I'm going to say, like, the new Apple TV remote. I don't know what it's like for you guys, but I'm losing mine constantly. It falls on the couch, and then the dog will jump on me, and then my TV show is just going all over the place. So I want to see them, at the very least, make it a better form factor where I can tell which end is up and which end is down.
All right, Aline.
Four words, 17-inch MacBook Pros.
Oh,
they need to exist. There is a market for them. It might not be a huge market, but there is a market. And I know so many people who lament the petiteness of the 15-inch MacBook Pro. So, I think this is a thing that needs to happen.
An extra point at the end there because I hit the wrong key. Hey, Roman.
I'll have to second that 17-inch MacBook Pro.
Another point for Aline?
Huge proponent of that laptop. But my answer is actually, so when I was a kid, we used to do this thing called pencil fighting. Did anybody ever do pencil fighting? Where
you
kind of chopped each other's, tried to break each other's pencils in half by chopping them. But there used to be this pencil called the Husky, which was essentially a pencil that was basically twice the girth of a regular pencil. Does anybody know what a husky pencil?
I think you've made up all of your notes.
That's a thing.
But go on.
Yeah, and they were available like in red, green, and blue. So what I would like to see is the Apple Husky Pencil. So it's an iPad stylus that's twice as thick as the current Apple Pencil. And so I don't know why you would need a Husky Pencil. An Apple Husky Pencil, why would you need it? I have no clue, but I'm sure Apple Marketing could figure out a way to sell it.
You're listening to Crazy Pencil Talk on the Incomparable Network. And before we go to our next question, hey, let's check the scores. Roman Loyola, apparently with deeper knowledge of pencils than any person I had ever known, currently with 7 points, tied with Brianna Wu at 7. Jason Snell just ahead of them at 8. Roaring out to a big lead in her first pundit showdown match is Aline Sims with 10 points.
Whoa.
I can't believe nobody said 14-inch MacBook.
Well, there you go.
Can't believe it.
Because it would only have one USB.
But it'd be super thin, but huge. Anyway.
Well, let's go to our next question. It's all about this guy who we've already heard from on the show.
I just thought of a problem, you know. Girl just sitting around, you know, talking about boys, right?
Yeah.
And or complaining about boys when they have the heartbroken or whatever. Yeah. And that they need music for that, right? So it's hard to find the right music. You know, not everybody has, you know, the right list or knows a DJ or something. So you need great lists. You need great lists for dinner. You need great lists for exercising. And you need great lists for moments like that. So I just, originally, I said, I know, Mary, Carrie, and Oprah.
Yeah, Oprah. Apple's Jimmy Iovine is receiving some well-deserved backlash after a TV interview in which he claimed that it's difficult for women to find music. Let's help him out by suggesting a song that best encapsulates our feelings about his comment. Aline, if you're not too busy sitting around talking about boys, Give us your answer, please.
I will do my best. We're actually going to go back in time. Picture it. 2000. The year 2000, when I was in high school, Bye 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 by NSYNC. Apple's trying to increase diversity. Misogyny from public members of the company is not okay. Like, this is just totally not okay. He needs to, at the very least, be out of the public eye, if not just kind of swept under the rug.
Jason.
Well, for my first inclination was to do what I always do, which is get my wisdom from Taylor Swift, as we all should. And
so
I looked, I looked in the catalog, and I think I Knew You Were Trouble would be a good one, because I think this we could have seen this coming if we looked at Jimmy Iovine and his track record of saying crazy things. But in the end, I have to go with my gut and say, let's look at the No Doubt catalog and Don't Speak.
Excellent answer. Brianna.
So, you know, my first advice would be don't listen to a song. Like, listen to any of the many, many keynotes I've given on unconscious sexism, because that's exactly what this is. Like, it's somebody that is not realizing that they're having really, really harmful stereotypes in their mind. And it's just, it's exactly like you said, Aileen. It's completely unacceptable for a member of Apple's leadership to be talking about this stuff. But since I can't recommend just like the audio from one of my talks, I'm going to say Seether from Veruca Salt, which is the ultimate 90s like power girl song. It's all about like keeping this inner mean girl inside you like chained up because she just wants to bite at everything. And like that's what I felt when I heard this and read about it. It's like you want to look at your watch and see like is it 1980 again? I couldn't even believe it.
Very good answers. Roman, wrap us up.
So the song I picked is from 1985. It's Old Ways by Neil Young. The opening lyric goes, "Old ways, it sure is hard to change 'em, come what may. It's hard to teach a dinosaur a new trick."
Extra point there for the dramatic reading of the Neil Young lyrics. No podcast.
I held a lighter in the air just in case you're wondering.
When I once did a stand-up bit where I had Neil Young singing Neil Sedaka songs, because that was the cutting-edge comedy that I used to do, and that's a point off to me. Let's go to our next question. In its annual survey of tech support services provided by PC makers, Laptop Mag, which is a really nice publication that people should read, came across tech support representatives from Dell and HP who either actively discouraged people from upgrading to Windows 10 or didn't understand new features of Microsoft's major new OS. What's the most dubious bit of advice you've ever gotten? Let's start off with Roman this time.
I couldn't think of one specific. So something that generally happens is sometimes when I have a computer problem and I ask an expert, and that expert tells me to reinstall the operating system. And even though the problem seems like a trivial one, that tells me more about the so-called expert than the problem I'm trying to fix.
Boom. There you go. Brianna, dubious bit of advice.
I think it would be when I watched the Apple keynote and they suggested I upgrade to Yosemite with Discovery D. So that was, in retrospect, a huge, huge mistake. My email would randomly not work. My internet wouldn't work. Safari wouldn't work. It literally broke my MacBook and crashed podcasts and just really made it very unpleasant. So I'm happy to see they solved that in the meantime, because El Capitan is a huge step up on that.
Aileen.
So says Brianna Wu, parenthesis 76, parenthesis. I think one of the worst things that I hear is I still hear manually kill apps on iOS to improve performance and battery life, even though that's never been true. But the worst thing I have ever heard is an Apple Store genius tell me that it was important for me to turn off my iPad, turn it off entirely when I wasn't using it to ensure that Bluetooth worked correctly.
Wow. Jason.
I have two. One is a spin on what Aileen said, which is also I like being told at the Apple Store that if you quit all of your apps, your battery will last longer. Nope, no. But the best one, though, just by a nose over that, is the classic Best Buy upsell, which is, you know, this would all work a lot better if you used a gold cable. Nice try, Billy. Nice try.
This episode is brought to you by Best Buy, where you can
buy a gold cable.
Gold cables for, yeah. Anyhow, let's move on to our next question, which I believe is all about this.
This will come as quite a shock to my crewmates and to NASA and to the entire world. But I'm still alive. Surprise.
That is a clip from The Martian, the hit movie starring Matt Damon as an astronaut stranded on the red planet, and it's reportedly under consideration for a Golden Globe Award in the category for Best Comedy. What's another instance of something that got stuck with a misleading label? Brianna, why don't you start us off this time?
I'd have to say, you know, the new Apple TV, it got a lot of play about being a game machine. And, you know, I picked this apart a lot in my writing. But I think, like, as far as being a game console and a game platform, it's really a big disappointment. You know, the gameplay on it is generally limiting to hitting one button or kind of swinging it a bit. You know, it's not ergonomic. You know, there are limitations in the binary that you can upload to the App Store, and you have to do it in 200 meg segments. So I think, like, with all of the talk about being a game machine, I think I find it really lacking in practice. So I think that it might have been a huge mistake of Apple to even enable that.
Jason.
Well, as Roman knows too well, and Phil, you and I know it from our past careers as well, Macworld covers all things Apple, which means every time you write a freaking article about the iPhone, somebody posts in the comments, "But this is Macworld!" But instead, I'm going to go back to the Surface Book and beat it up again, because it is a tablet. It's sold as this convertible tablet, but most of the battery is in the base. So if you disconnect it from the base, it's got about 3 hours that it'll last. 3 hours! That's brutal. It seems to not really even deserve the label Surface. This is a laptop with a mildly interesting detachable screen, not a true tablet with a keyboard add-on. It's being missold and mislabeled.
Aline.
This is going to hurt a lot of people. Volkswagen TDIs are more resource efficient than most other vehicles.
Boom.
That's it.
That's worth 2 points. So, Roman.
Well, I'll play along with the theme of the question, which
that's very good that you would actually follow the question as written. That's a good strategy.
So, and you know, for centuries we all thought that Pluto was a planet. But almost 10 years ago, the whole world was told that we were wrong about Pluto. That's not really a planet.
Pluto was only discovered in like 1910. It wasn't centuries, but okay.
Okay.
For decades. Decades.
For decades. Decades. That's what I meant.
No, no one likes to know it all, Jason.
Sorry, science. I had to get into validity science.
But, you know, so Pluto was reclassified as a dwarf planet. And you know, there are people who are much more smarter than me, obviously, because I don't know the difference between a decade and a century, who understand the difference between a planet and a dwarf planet. As far as I can tell, the difference is size. But for some reason, this change had many scientists and non-scientists up in arms. And it was so controversial that states even tried to pass resolutions declaring that Pluto will always be a planet to them, which I'm sure meant a lot to the Plutonians.
Let's check the scores. Wow. Roman, who decades, years, centuries, what does it matter? 15 points is what matters. That's what you have right now. Just ahead of him, don't correct other people, Jason. 16 points.
My job.
Brianna Wu has just gone into a sprint. She's in second place with 17 points.
Yeah!
Aline Sims, still in first place with 18.
Sweet.
As we go to our next question. Oxford Dictionaries picked its word of the year, and the winner is not actually a word. It is, in fact, an emoji, the face with tears of joy emoji, to be specific. So please correct Oxford's mistake with your own nominee for word of the year. Let's start off with Roman.
I agree that the word of the year should be an emoticon, but they picked the wrong one. It should have been the shrug emoticon. And I would name the 11 characters that you need to create the shrug emoticon, but I don't know what they're called. Half of them. I don't know.
Anyone want to, for a bonus point, what are they?
I just type /shrug in Slack.
Text expander.
That's a good time-saving tip.
Pro tip.
Yes. All right. Aline.
So I wanted to make a joke about emoji, but I am going to be super serious and say inclusivity. The end of 2014 and all of 2015 have been this giant wake-up call for a lot of us, both in tech specifically, I think, and societally at large. We're starting to realize that we need to make real efforts at bringing more people into the fold and helping them succeed. So inclusivity is my word for 2015.
There you go. Jason.
Now, this is complicated. I want to make sure I can get the pronunciation of this exactly right.
Okay.
Reversed hand with middle finger extended emoji.
Very good. Any explanation for that?
Or does I mean, I think it's a better emoji. I think it's a better emoji and it speaks for itself. I mean, I thought about going with clipboard instead of like you've got a phablet, you know, which is a big phone, that a clipboard is for like a really big tablet like the iPad Pro, because it is literally like carrying around a clipboard. But there's already a word clipboard. So I went back to the middle finger. Reversed hand with middle finger extended emoji.
You can't call it the bird emoji because there's
actual birds.
Bird
yeah.
emoji. Yeah.
It's hard.
That's actually, yeah.
All right. And Brianna, you have not answered yet.
I would say this. I have to build on what you're saying, Aline, and say I agree with you. It has been a wake-up call. But rather in the word inclusivity, I would use the word amnesia over here in the video game industry.
Yeah.
Because it feels like week after week after week after week, I'm having to make the same calls to some new conference that amazingly did not include any women speakers again. And it's like we've actually formed a task force of leaders, women leaders in the game industry, to like talk to these people ahead of time because we know they're going to make the same mistake over and over and over again. But as far as the actual question, I have to say, I like the emoji for the word of the year. And I think that, you know, what I would like to see us do is from just every year from here on out, just stick to an emoji to basically sum up the year that it's been. So I think with Donald Trump being in the news so much this year, I think the eggplant should be the word of the year, the eggplant emoji. I would hope that next year we'll get the taco emoji. And then maybe a few years from now, we'll get to the burrito emoji being the word of the year.
Emojis for everyone is, I think, the takeaway from this answer.
Yep.
And we're going to move on to our next question, I believe. And yes, someone has just flashed me the eggplant emoji right now. So there you go. Our next question is all about this.
A big part of the job is looking for the worst in people. Turns out I excel at that.
You a PI?
I'm just trying to make a living. You know, booze costs money. Usually.
That was a clip from Jessica Jones, now available for streaming on Netflix. Quick question here. Who's the Jessica Jones of tech? Aline.
Georgia Dow is the Jessica Jones of tech, minus the PTSD and alcoholism. She's smart, resourceful, able to get in other people's heads, and could kick most of our butts without a second thought.
Brianna.
I hope this doesn't sound self-aggrandizing, but I think I am clearly the Jessica Jones of the tech world. I mean, I truly, yeah, I do not give a frack. I will throw down anytime. I'm rude. I've got that one down. You know, in all seriousness, though, like Jessica Jones as a character is dealing with a lot of trauma. You know, I've been dealing with Gamergate for over a year now. It's taking a toll on my health, my psyche, everything. It's terrible. And I don't know. It was very interesting to, you know, be watching that show and to see a character was dealing with so many of the things I have in my life. So I don't know. I love it. Love it.
All right, Jason.
I'm going to go not to a person, but to a sort of following the metaphor to a company and say Twitter, which showed its power and potential early, just as Jessica Jones showed that she had superpowers early on. But then, there were hard times after that. And and like Jessica Jones, Twitter's trying to get it together again. And it's not easy, but gosh darn it, I think both of them have enough gumption and ambition and unlimited potential that in the end, I think it's going to be all right for Twitter, and I think it's going to be all right for Jessica Jones.
And Roman, who is the Jessica Jones of tech?
I'm going to go with a company too, and I'm going to say Uber.
So okay.
Uber sort
what?
Of it has this sort of
go on.
Uber sometimes engages in behavior that a lot of people may not totally find appealing, or they may not find it acceptable, but they use the service anyway, which is Jessica Jones kind of engages in this sort of self-destructive behavior. She can get away with it because I guess she's somewhat invincible and she knows it, but she's really good at what she does, so people hire her anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a reach, but
I don't think I agree with your interpretation of the character at all. I've only seen one episode so far.
That was a way better explanation than I thought we were going to get, I gotta say. Yeah.
You know, I'll give you another point for that, and then I'm going to back away slowly and move on to our next question, which is another listener supply question, because our crack writing staff was very lazy this week. It's from Steve Thomas, and he wants to know, with the Apple Pencil getting rave reviews, what other accessory will Apple take credit for inventing and wow the tech world? Let's read that again in a less pausey way. What accessory is Apple going to take credit for inventing that will wow the tech world? Let's start off with Jason.
Well, let's not forget Apple, in addition to the pencil, Apple also invented the watch this year. And I'm afraid that they're going to invent the replacement for the headphone jack. But what I hope they will take credit for inventing and wow the tech world is cable TV, because that's a product that is ripe for some change, and perhaps Apple can make some deals and do something interesting there.
Jason taking all the answers before anyone else can answer. That is classic Snell. Brianna.
I went to Oculus Connect 2 this year, and I thought it was very interesting that there were, VR is a space a lot of us are very interested in researching. I thought it was very interesting that I saw a lot of Google people there, and then for the first time in a VR event, I actually saw a lot of Apple people there. And, you know, the game industry is kind of preparing itself for this huge VR-like explosion. In fact, we're expecting consumers to go buy a lot of these headsets soon. But I look at the product that we're putting out, and I see it as a period of time that we're going to look back on as very similar to when Apple entered the market with the iPod, in that the answers everyone was putting out was just kind of terrible in ways that we weren't really thinking about. The usability experience with VR is terrible. It's kind of ugly to put on your head. It's uncomfortable. The UI sucks. And often the approach, like I did at Oculus Connect 2 this year, they put this visor on my head and had me play some Xbox 360 games, where I was basically this disembodied soul flying through space, like parented to a character in an action game. And you know, you take the goggles off and you just feel like divorced from reality, like you're just floating in space. So, you know, I see us making such huge mistakes here. And I know that Apple is going to come around at some point and get it right, get a consumer product, get the interface right in a way that kind of the game tech bros just aren't able to do. So that's my prediction.
Okay. Apple taking an interest in games is a very bold, bold prediction, I think. Aline.
Now, we've had these two very good, serious answers, and I'm going to go with, when I was a teen, I wanted one of those rings that had a watch face on it, and I think that Apple will come out with the Apple Ring, which will be the iPhone accessory for people who don't wear watches.
Boom.
Roman.
Jason kind of alluded to the answer, my answer, with when he talked about the headphone jack. And I think when Apple replaces the headphone jack with the Lightning port, people tend to start to use Bluetooth headphones more. And then, of course, Apple will get credit for inventing the Bluetooth headphone.
All right. Our next question is all about this. It's the festive period, which could mean that we should ask you for the top tech present of the year, or what your New Year's resolution is, or who's the Judah Maccabee of tech. But we won't, largely because we've asked those questions before. Instead, in honor of Festivus, please take a few moments to air your biggest grievance of 2015. Here's some appropriate music for the background. Aline, what's your tech grievance?
Well, one, I don't have a hoverboard. Secondly, earlier I mentioned that we're starting to realize that inclusivity is a thing that needs to happen in the tech industry, but our efforts have been so paltry so far. Boom. Apple's diversity stats even got worse in a few categories this year. So I want to say meaningful change is going to take a lot of work, and we really need to make sure we're dedicating real resources, real time, and real energy toward that effort.
Brianna.
You know, I feel like we haven't really talked about it today, but, you know, I have some problems with Apple Music that I would like to talk about. You know, like, I am one of the few people that happily paid for a Beats Music subscription because it was so excellent. You know, if you are someone, like, of my husband's generation, like, it's very predictable the music service is going to have the kind of stuff you like to listen to. You know, 70s rock and roll, the Beatles, Rolling Stones, all of that stuff. But for me, I only listen to EDM, dance music, and I have like a ridiculous amount of passion for that. Beats was an excellent, excellent, excellent product for that. And then it got rolled into this Apple Music thing, and the quality has just completely gone downhill. It's flat out terrible now. Like one of the Apple curators for this, his Twitter name is Arjun Writes, and he like puts together the worst playlists ever for the service now. And it's really frustrating to see something that used to be so edgy and smart with its choices, which is the whole point of curated playlists, to like dumb down to like popular DJs like Skrillex. And, you know, it's really been a disappointment for so many reasons. You know, you have the reasons Jim Dalrymple listed on, you know, Loop Insight this year about the problem syncing. You know, I've had problems syncing my old music library to my devices. It's a huge step back. And I think it's not worth $10 a month.
There you go. Jason.
I would say that Apple's war on buttons, ports, and actual like physical dimensions has gone too far. The MacBook keyboard, I think it's no good. There's not enough key travel. I think some people think, it's fine. It's fine. But it was made thin for no real good reason. That laptop does not need to be another millimeter thin. The MacBook itself, it's got the one USB port. If you want to charge your MacBook while plugging in a peripheral, good luck. You're lucky it still has the headphone jack. They haven't figured out taking that off yet. I have to wonder, are they going to do that with the iPhone and take the headphone jack off? Are they going to get rid of the home button, perhaps replaced by a 3D touch equivalent? I think most iPhone users could probably use a little more battery rather than a little more thinness. How about improving iPhone battery life a little bit more and worrying a little less about the thinness of your products? They're already thin enough, Apple. You're starting to worry me.
So other than that, though, no grievances.
That's my grievance. It's a war on actual dimensions.
Roman, what's your beef?
So my grievance is with Apple, just like everyone else, it seems like. Apple, everyone knows your focus is iOS, but the Mac is a consistent seller, and the Mac App Store in particular demands your full attention, Apple. It remains practically unchanged since you opened it nearly 6 years ago. 6 years ago, and it's basically the same store. And that problem you had with the App Store apps not working because of a simple certificate issue, that shouldn't have happened. And it's just indicative of how much you don't care about the Mac. Or at least it seems like you don't care about the Mac. It's time to change your attitude there, Apple. You need to improve the Mac App Store. And if you need ideas, just go to the web. I think there have been like a dozen articles posted in the past month or so about how the App Store can be better. I mean, is it really that difficult to assign a few developers and a product manager to this task? I mean, you can still make the Mac App Store better and still figure out how to make a self-driving car or an iPhone without a headphone jack. So do it, Apple.
And that is why they call Roman Loyal the angriest man
yep.
in tech.
Yep. Famously.
But that anger has served Roman well. Only a point separates him and Aline from Jason and a spot in the final. Brianna with 30 points.
Yeah.
Cruising to the finals. But it could all change with our next question, which is our golden envelope question, where you can match my answer and get 10 bonus points, almost certainly a spot in the final. The question is this. An interview with Sean Rad in the Evening Standard in which the Tinder co-founder made vague threats against a reporter and confused the words sapiosexual and sodomy proved so disastrous, as so often happens when the words sapiosexual and sodomy work their way into an interview. Tinder's parent company had to distance itself from Rad on the eve of its IPO. But what is the most disastrous public appearance by a tech executive that you can recall? Let's start off with Roman, who hopefully has calmed down from his last answer.
Well, actually, I kind of got distracted because I was trying to figure out how I'm going to explain to my kids what sodomy is once they listen to this podcast. Yeah. Does Carly Fiorina still count as a tech executive?
Oh, she certainly does.
So I'm going to say that that Carly Fiorina, and I'm going to say her most recent appearance is this past weekend on Fox, was pretty disastrous. But
boom.
But that appearance will be superseded by whatever upcoming appearances she has coming.
Strong words for Carly Fiorina.
I'm an angry man, Phil.
Oh, boy. Kicking over tables and taking names as Roman. Aline, disastrous appearances.
All right, picture it. Microsoft. Steve Ballmer's retirement announcement where he sobbed on stage and played I've Had the Time of My Life.
Boom.
I'm so sad that I don't have the Steve Ballmer clip anymore. Let me quickly look through my soundboards. Looking for it. Oh, it's not there. Oh, this is the worst day ever. Now I'm sad. Now I'm going to sob. Okay. Yes. We would have also accepted developers. So, Brianna.
Yeah, I'm upset. I was going to say Carly Fiorina. Like, I could blast her for like a good hour on the show. Yeah, not good. But what I will do is I'll pivot last minute and I will say, you know, in all seriousness, guys, you know, this year, Tim Cook, you know, did an interview with Christina Warren, you know, my co-host over on Rocket. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Apple's commitment to hiring more women. And I know this, like, I've had Apple people talk to me and ask me to like send them any super qualified engineers that I might know. So I know that the intent is there. But I have to say, like, you know, Aline, you were alluding to this earlier. When their diversity numbers for this year came out, they were not really a step forward. There were more jobs at the mall for women that they added, but really not many in tech and leadership. And what I found very, very frustrating, and I want to call like the Apple press out on this, is, you know, you can go through site by site by site and see how different people reported on it. And they didn't really look into the numbers and compare them before to last year's numbers. And I think like we wanted to believe so badly that Apple was doing better and the situation was getting better that the journalists that like looked into this report didn't really think through it. And I think that you kind of failed at reporting on this issue. So I want to call out like Apple's leadership team and not getting it done this year. I think that was a real failure.
Yep.
Okay. Jason.
Okay. So disastrous public appearance. So there's a senior vice president at Uber named Emil Michael. And he went to a fancy New York dinner and he,
I understand he's the Jessica Jones of tech.
Yeah, that's what I hear. He believed it was off the record. There's no reason for that. He was out to dinner with a whole bunch of people. Wishing doesn't make it so. It was a public place. And at dinner, he threatened to spend $1 million digging up dirt about the personal lives of journalists and their families if they dared criticize their company. So that's kind of disastrous. It got reported in the media, of course, because it wasn't off the record. But fortunately, he backtracked, but did that in the best possible way by saying the remarks attributed to me at a private dinner do not reflect my actual views. Literally, the words that came out of my mouth were not made by me. I don't know where they came from, but I denounce them now, apparently by means of one of his more trustworthy orifices.
Orifices, sodomy. Oh my goodness!
It's taken a decidedly adult turn this episode, Roman.
Roman, sodomy just means you like smart people. That's what I heard. I read it in the newspaper.
Read it in the Evening Standard.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should mention that none of you got the golden envelope because it was Guillermo.
That was my backup.
Yeah. Well.
Oh well.
Wishing doesn't make it so.
No, it does not.
Let's wrap this up with our final question. To beat this end-of-the-year theme into the ground, This is the time of year when reputable publications from Time to Sports Illustrated to non-Time Warner publications pick their person of the year. Since we are nothing if not reputable, who should be the Pundit Showdown's person of the year for 2015? Roman, start us off.
So the person of the year of the Pundit Showdown, which of course has to be, of course, Philip Michaels.
Oh, you kiss ass.
With his ability to conjure up inquiries that provoke thoughtful, insightful responses
from
his guest, and his ability to keep the show moving like a well-oiled machine, Philip Michaels is hands down the person among persons of the Pundit Showdown.
Okay, you got your point.
Thank you.
How shameless. Shameless. Aline.
All right, so I wasn't sure what Pundit Showdown's person of the year meant, so I just went global person of the year. I was going to say Serena Williams, but instead I'm going with another athlete extraordinaire, ballerina Misty Copeland, who became the first African-American woman to be promoted to the principal dancer at ABT's, the American Ballet Theater's 75-year history. And she has been very outspoken about racism in her industry. And I just have a lot of respect for her. And she's just really cool to watch.
We're going to give you the hallelujah on that one. We're going to take off a point for not knowing what Pundit Showdown is. Okay.
No. I didn't know what the person of the year qualifier meant.
Oh, I see.
I listened to Pundit Showdown.
Still taking a point off. Brianna!
So I've got to get serious here for a second. You know, this year has had a lot of really big stories about women in tech, but I really want everyone to sit here and to really reflect on someone that has sacrificed a lot to make the field of tech better for all of us, and that is Ellen Powell. You know, she put everything on the line for the women that work in this field, like basically putting this very high profile sexual discrimination lawsuit forward. And it wasn't successful. And I think you can read and see the way that the deck was stacked against her. But this is a woman, and I know Ellen, you know, she drew a line in the sand and decided to go up against a giant for all of us. And, you know, it cost her family quite a bit of money. It caused her a lot of stress. She brought that same integrity forward in standing up to Reddit and kind of getting rid of some of the hate sites there. And then by showing integrity at a company as big as Reddit, you know, basically she doesn't work there anymore. And, you know, what I think people don't know about Ellen is what a warm, wonderful, reflective person she is. It doesn't really make its way into the press. And I just have to say, when I think about people that I admire, people that I want to be like, people that I strive to have those same qualities, Ellen is very much up there. And, you know, she left it all in the field for women in tech this year. And, you know, they should be carving her face on a mountain as far as I'm concerned.
3 points on that answer. And Jason, wrap us up.
When Time Magazine used to do this, they always had the kind of conceptual ones that weren't a person. And I'm going to go in that direction now. And say, no, this is a good one. And also kind of serious. I think when you look at as Brianna and Alina both mentioned in this show, when you look at one of the big challenges of the tech industry and something that we've all tried to come to grips with this year, it is among the many problems that we have in the tech industry. One of them is about not including women and treating women badly. So I think that the person of the year should be women in technology, and that spans a lot of different things. That spans people like Jean McDonald doing AppCap for Girls. It covers games. It covers general tech. It covers CEOs and executives, as well as women working in the trenches. The women who are writing and podcasting, calling attention to this issue, but also while they're doing it, diversifying the voices we hear. You know, when J.J. Abrams was recently talking about Star Wars, he talked about, and he was trying to be very positive and say, in history, Star Wars has been very focused on boys, but we're going to make it so that the girls and women will like it too. That was at both sort of admirable in a way, but also completely missed the point that girls like Star Wars too. You just didn't hear that they were there and didn't know they existed. So there's a lot of work to do, but one of the ways you can learn, and as men we can understand what these issues are and actually get our perspective shifted a little bit, is by having those other voices out there. I feel like we've made some progress in this last year, and it's something to use for and work for next year. So I would say women in tech.
And so our nominees are Women in Tech, Ellen Powell, Misty Copeland.
I'd like to withdraw my nomination.
And me.
Based on the other answers, I'm going to withdraw my nomination.
One of these
Nothing against you, Phil.
I had another answer, too, and I was like, nope, I'm going to use the other answer instead.
Yep. Okay. Reading the room. And ironically, with that... response about women in tech, Jason, you vaulted into the top spot and won the initial round.
So typical of this business, I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's check the scores. Jason, as I mentioned, is in first place with 36. Roman was doing very strongly there with the anger, the rage, but then petered out when he talked about me, so he only gets 30 points. Aline, very strong showing for her first appearance. She's in third place at 31. That means Brianna Wu, our runner-up at 35, will be in Defend the Indefensible with Jason Snell.
Yeah!
This is going to be the worst, because there is no person I know who is going to be great at Defend the Indefensible like Brianna Wu.
Wow.
We have very different opinions on entertainment. So,
for those of you who don't know how this works, I am going to read a statement that neither finalist has any existing knowledge of. It's a terrible statement. It is not something that any sensible person would argue for, yet they're going to have to argue in favor of it for 20 seconds. For 20 seconds, you will have to agree with the statement that I am about to read. Jason, would you like to go first or second?
I'm going to go second.
Okay.
That's smart.
Brianna, this is your Defend the Indefensible. When I say I mean you. As far as I'm concerned, no game will ever do a better job of espousing feminist ideals than Ms. Pac-Man.
Whew. Yeah, now look, Ms. Pac-Man, it is a wonderful, wonderful example of feminist empowerment. Like, basically, you have the lead character of the series who is represented as a woman, and, you know, like, she has her own identity, she has her own goals, she's able to eat as much as she wants. Like, there's no fat shaming in Ms. Pac-Man, and, you know, she goes out there and beats the male patriarchy by eating all those male ghosts, which is except for Sue.
And that is 20 seconds. Thank you. There is no fat shaming in this Pac-Man. That is very true.
She's round and it's okay.
Yeah, I feel much better about reading that now. All right. Jason, this is your Defend the Indefensible. Not only should Apple do away with a headphone jack on the next iPhone, it should also ditch the touchscreen.
Wow. Yeah, you know, actually, that doesn't go far enough. I believe the next iPhone should have no screen. It should be the Siri phone, and it has no screen, it has no ports, it has an inductive charging cable, so you can lay it down somewhere on the inductive cable, and it'll charge. No screen at all. You won't even need to touch it. All you'll do is talk to it. Eventually, there'll be one that you can stick in your ear, but in the short term, you'll have a little Bluetooth headset.
And that time. A very good answer. Always, you always do well in the defensibles, Jason. But there is no fat shaming in Ms. Pac-Man. Brianna Wu is the champion. It only leaves me to thank Brianna Wu for coming on the show. Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you. I feel special.
And thank you to our other panelists who have come on today. Roman Loyola.
Thanks for having me.
Aline Sims.
Thanks.
And Jason Snell, thank you.
Ms. Pac-Man is round, I cannot deny.
And that just leaves me to thank you, listeners, for sticking with us this past year for the four episodes that we managed to put out. Maybe we'll do more next year, maybe we'll do less. Tomorrow is promised to no man. I'm Philip Michaels. Thank you again for tuning into the Pundit Showdown.
Boom.